Hello, everyone. Welcome to the second podcast in the Technology Commercialization series organized by the IEEE Impact Blog at Young Professionals in collaboration with the Entrepreneurship Society. I'm your host, Noor. Today, we have Anna Zakshavska and Dragana Vukovic joining us to discuss idea protection and IP development. Hello, guys.
Hello. Hello, Noor. Hello, everybody.
Hi, Noor. Hi.
Hi. To give a brief introduction of our guests, Anna is a senior principal engineer at Dell Technologies and an expert in technology commercialization. She has multiple patents in wireless communications, systems engineering, and network management. Anna also participated in our previous podcast, where she provided valuable advice and ideation. If you haven't had the chance to listen it yet, I highly recommend you to do it. And coming to our next guest, Dragana is a patent attorney at Zaco 360 Degrees Intellectual Property. With nearly a decade of experience in the field, she has worked on a wide range of technologies, including optics, medical devices, and telecommunications. Her expertise covers assessing patentability, handling patent prosecution, and patent law. Thank you, Anna and Dragana, once again for joining us.
Thank you for having us, Noor.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here and continue the discussion on idea protection today.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we were talking about the ideation and how to build ideas and stuff in our previous podcast, continuing that. And when it comes to the idea protection, I hear a lot of terms like patent, trademark, license, and copyright. What are the differences between them? Like among these terms, patent, trademark, license, and copyright. How do I know what should I use to protect my idea?
Yeah, so all these cover intellectual properties, and they are quite different. So patents, they protect technical inventions and discoveries. And I'm highlighting this term technical because a patent has to relate to a technical idea, and it has to solve a technical problem. On the other hand, we have trademarks, and they are used in connection with goods and services. So they protect symbols and names and slogans. So they have nothing to do with technical in ideas and technical problems. And then finally, we have copyrights, and these protect literature, music, art, and all these intellectual properties, they give exclusive right to of the owner of the intellectual property to use this intellectual property. However, there are some differences in the timeline, how long you can use this intellectual property. Patents can be used for 20 years from filing of a patent application. Trademarks, they don't really have the lifetime, so you can use them as long as you like. And then the copyrights, they normally last as long as the life of the author of the copyright plus around 70 years after the author deceased. So all these three have to be somewhat registered. So patent has to be registered with the patent offices. Trademarks also have to be registered. And only the copyright is an exception where registration is optional. So you can have it registered. It gives some benefits, but it doesn't have to be registered. Yeah, so this is the key kind of key differences between these three intellectual properties.
And while I have not previous experience with trademarks or copyrights, I would like to just maybe add a sentence on the patents. Dragana mentioned that a patent protects an idea that solves a technical problem. And I think it's a very important statement and definition to remember. Why? Because I think there is a bit of a misconception that once we have a prototype, once the idea is working, then we can file for a patent. The truth is that you can file a patent application as soon as you finalize your idea. There's no need to develop a prototype or a product or demonstrate that that idea is working. Why is it important? Because time here is at stake. So if you and someone else in the world have the same ideas, the person who files the patent first will get it versus the one who spends time in the lab developing a prototype will not have it granted. The priority, the time really matters. So for those who do research and work on their prototypes and think about commercializing their ideas, think about protecting it as soon as you can.
Yes, exactly. That these are very important points.
And thank you. It was a very detailed explanation. From the gist of it, I understand that patents and licenses are more towards the technology IP protection, and copyrights and copyrights and trademarks are somewhat towards the arts and the field. And I also have a question around this very protection point. How do you decide whether to patent your work or to protect your work at all, or maybe just open source it for the benefit of the community?
Well, this choice depends on various factors. So it depends on business strategy, on future development, on commercial constraints that you may have. So all these play a role. So we said that protecting intellectual property through patents or trademarks or copyrights, it offers exclusivity. So it gives certain rights to the owner of this intellectual property. While on the other hand, open source gives right to everyone pretty much to use it. On one hand, you can choose whether you want to pose. Okay, so I think I got trapped in what I wanted to say.
I have a question just around this patent and protection concepts. How do you decide whether to patent your idea or just go and open source it? I always come see people having a dilemma around that. So what are your suggestions?
So this decision pretty much depends on on your business strategy, on various commercial constraints, on your future ideas and development. So it is important to know that protecting intellectual property through either patents or other intellectual properties, it offers exclusivity, while open sourcing promotes basically sharing within the community. So patent gives a patent holder exclusive right for a limited period, and it provides the inventor with the right to exclude others from making, using, selling, and importing the patented invention. On the other hand, open sourcing refers to the practice of releasing a source of code of software or a project to the public. And when a project is open source, it means that everyone can see it and everyone can use it, modify, and they can distribute it. So I would say that this has a limited commercial value. On the other hand, I think patents, they encourage further innovation. They also encourage long-term planning within the companies, investment in research and development. And I think this is because patents are considered as very valuable assets of a company. So there is a difference here. So patents, they drive technical development, accelerate research, and then open sourcing it promotes sharing within the community, and then all the development is happening with joint forces, I would say.
Yes, but also while I agree was with the explanation that Dragana provided, I think it's also interesting to note that while patent provides that exclusivity, as she explained, you could still open source it, providing some fair licensing options with that solution. I stumbled like crazy. Okay. I don't know. The sun is right in. So as Dragana explained, business strategy here plays a role while deciding whether we patent and protect an idea with a patent or we open source it. One thing to remember as well is that once the information is revealed, it cannot be retracted. So that means that once you patent, you can still open source the associated code. But once you open source the code, you cannot patent these things anymore because they would be out in the public and in the public domain, and that would prevent patenting. So I think this is an important note to remember when considering a move, that one move may restrain the other in the future. As a final note regarding open sourcing, maybe raising a little bit of awareness that we think sometimes, or we tend to think that once the code has been made open and available, we can use it for any purpose, however we like it, modified or not. Well, there is a number of licenses that are associated with open source code that come with certain requirements or restrictions. For example, someone may request that this open source code must not be used for commercial purposes, or some other license might impose a requirement that once you use that piece of open source code, you must open your version or your modifications under the same license. I think it's something also important to be aware of. In both ways, while you decide how you open source your source code, or also whether there is a value in using open source code in your project. So extreme care is advised, and definitely a consultation with the specialists in the field.
That's very detailed and very informative. I genuinely appreciate that. Just knowing about how open sourcing also involves a lot of care to be taken, looking at the software, patents or applications. There are a lot of other things that we need to consider as well. And we are just diving into software prototypes and applications. Looking at it a bit further, what are the considerations when patenting a software application? Is it same for the hardware prototypes as well?
I think it's maybe let's start with some hardware solutions that it might be easier to visualize. So you can think of a design of a mechanical design like a bicycle. I mean, it's a frame with two wheels and a mechanism to move the wheels that allows an individual to travel. That's just my very rough idea. And then there might be a drawing of that design of a first bicycle design. So for the hardware prototypes, I think it's in a way easier as it's a physical as well. So maybe it's more that's a differentiator. It's a physical object with that has an appearance, that has a design that you'll be able to specify. When it comes to software, so software as such is not patentable in the sense that one cannot submit a file with a number of code lines and request to protect it by a patent. In other words, or in the mechanism itself, what we protect, and as Dragana explained at the beginning of our meeting today, we protect an idea that solves a technical problem. So when it comes to software, instead of the code itself, what we protect is the algorithm or a method that the software itself implements. And it might be a nice experience for those who are interested to look at some software or some method or algorithmic patent and understand how different they are from the code itself.
Yes, exactly. I can give an example of how we phrase this computer implementing inventions. Normally, we say that it's a computer program that comprises certain instructions, which, when the program is executed by a computer, cause the computer to carry steps A, B, and C. So this is, I would say, an odd way of writing a patent claim on a computer implementing inventions. And as Anna said, software as such is not patentable, but software which solves a certain problem, that is patentable. So as equally well as the hardware. So we can patent every hardware and every software idea equally, as long as it's new and inventive, and as long as it solves a certain technical problem. I can give also an example of, for instance, a smartphone. And you know that the smartphone has a lot of components, memories, processors inside. These are tangible objects, and these can be patented, but also there are a lot of processes which are performed inside the smartphone. Like, you have a user interface that everyone can see that, but all this, how your icons move on a screen, all these methods are also covered by a patent. So not the code as such, but the method, how step-by-step method of how certain process is performed.
Bob, I do love the way how you are visualizing the process. It's not just something different for hardware or software. Essentially, when you look at it as a product, or when you visualize it as a bicycle or a smartphone, it makes it easier for us to understand and look through the process of idea protection. And just around this, are there any common pitfalls to avoid when developing and protecting intellectual property?
What we often see is that researchers tend to publish their work before they file a patent application. It is very important to keep in mind that a patent can be obtained for inventions that are new in view of published disclosure. So Anna mentioned this previously when talking about open source and patents. So you have to make sure that nothing is published before you file a patent application. During development of the idea, it is also important to make sure that you have confidentiality agreements with your collaborators or employees, investors, whoever you want to share some details about the invention with. And also, once you have developed the core of your idea, it is good to conduct the research whether your idea is unique, what we say in our patent language is novel and inventive. And once you concluded that the idea is actually unique, I would say don't wait too long before applying for a patent application. As soon as you have a concrete idea, file a patent application, and then you're on a safe side.
You touched an important point there in that conversation, like, be careful and get agreements sorted. do not before you speak to anyone about it. But looking at the commercialization journey, I'm sure that a lot of these entrepreneurs or inventors would have to go and talk about the work quite intensively. Like, that's how the investors want to talk about. That's how they win the confidence of the investors. How do you balance the need to protect your intellectual property with the need to the sharing the information with these potential investors or maybe the partner agencies?
Finding the right balance between protecting your intellectual property and involving investors or other business partners involves assessing the nature of your intellectual property and also the stage of the innovation development. As I mentioned, you need to know whether your idea is mature enough in order to be patented, or whether you need still some time to develop it. So in case you believe that your idea is mature enough, as I said, just file a patent application. But if you need to talk with someone beforehand, make sure you have confidentiality agreements like NDAs. So this has to be exist also with inventors, with partners, or with any other people that you talk with. And even if you have this NDA signed, I would say that the best is to only share essential information. So don't share too many technical details. Despite the fact that these NDAs, they give, they prevent these who sign these agreements to use this in intellectual property.
Thanks, Raghana. That's a great advice coming from an expert herself. So it's more important to protect and have a good filter for what we are doing before releasing it out there. It could be agreements, it could be NDAs, or just the patent in itself based on the stages. Anna, let me direct the same question to you. How can one ensure that their IP is adequately protected during this commercialization process?
I would say, as a short answer, as early as possible. So while one may be, you know, excited about developing the idea and already writing business plans and thinking about how the idea is gonna impact the world, the sooner one thinks about protecting the idea and how that entire schema around it would look like, the better. As we discussed earlier, some decisions may prevent others in the future, like open sourcing would prevent you from patenting later on. So certain licenses may have certain implications. And I think involving a professional very early on is critical, or if not, maybe even just to self-awareness, to raise self-awareness and to learn about this area, it would be good to take a training or discuss with a professional, discuss with others, but do not delay the decision until you're ready to commercialize, because maybe some steps that one have taken before will impact the options to protect it going forward into the future.
I definitely agree with that.
Here I would thank Anna for promoting my profession. And I think I completely agree with Anna that it is very important to talk with patent attorneys when you want to file a patent application. It requires certain specific to say language skill on phrasing patent claims, which are the most important and which cover actually your idea. So before you file a patent application, make sure you talk with a patent professional and allow them to write your application for you.
Yes, and if I take a step back, when Dragana also mentioned about where you identify that your idea is unique, I would also advise not to do it. So maybe we'll have a little discussion here for one reason. Because of this specific patent language, an inventor that reads a patent may maybe have an impression that, oh, this is my idea, therefore I do not file. There are such small subtle nuances in phrasing, in organizing a patent application that really speaking and discussing with a professional is strongly advised, because if you try to do it yourself, you may come to a very sad conclusion that the idea is not patentable, while in reality it could have been.
Well, that's a smart way of putting it. Thank you for explaining it in a detailed manner. And just as we discuss this patent protection and seeking the help from the professionals, what strategies do you recommend for developing or maybe for managing a patent portfolio more effectively? What is the right time to come to you? Do they apply for all the patents across the world, or what are the things that they need to be doing?
Maybe before you apply for a patent, it is very important to focus on innovation. So you need to have a good research and development department, and you need to think about your products, which provide some competitive advantage to your company. And also you need to align your inventions with business goals of the company. And then when the innovation is in place, and when you have good innovation, patent ideas, then you can assess international markets, and then you can file your patent applications for inventions in regions that are relevant for your business. And as soon as you start considering having a patent, again, collaborate with an expert. And once you have your patent portfolio in place, make sure you periodically review this portfolio and see whether you use these patents, whether they are still in line with your business priorities and goals, and also check the market, whether the market is changing all the time. So you need to make sure that your patent portfolio is in line with the market. One more thing is that I think we mentioned that at the beginning, but a patent doesn't have to be something major, like a big breakthrough. It can be just a small upgrade of a known product. And basically, you can have a patent for one product or a piece of product, but then you can also upgrade that product, add some small features, and this can also be patented. So this is also in line with developing your patent portfolio. So some small improvements or even alternatives of your product, they can also be patented. So follow the market, check your business priorities, file patents as soon as you have your ideas, and continue monitoring your portfolio.
And what are the challenges that arise when seeking this patent protection? And from your experience, how do you suggest overcoming them? Okay. What are some common challenges that arise when seeking patent protection for new technologies, and how do you think that we could overcome them?
I think the main challenge for someone that hasn't done it before is the new environment, a new language, format of the documents, and especially the language might be a little bit confusing. And I think Dragana mentioned there is the body of a patent, and then there are the claims. And claims are extremely important. It's word crafting. What happens when an inventor first time goes on a patenting journey, and I speak of myself, I think it happened to many others as well. When we work with patent attorneys, we suddenly realize that they open up the idea. So an inventor may have a well-defined idea. All the requirements, all the parameters are there, and they think about the one technical problem that they are solving with the idea. In the reality, however, many solutions or many a solution is might be applicable to multiple problems. So then when writing a patent application, while you would be as an inventor very specific, that would mean that you would be focusing only on only one side, one angle of a problem. While when a patent attorney works with you and asks certain questions and shows you that maybe an idea is applicable to other fields or broadens up the claims, therefore making the patent broader, this, first of all, as it expands the protection. So instead of looking at or installing a camera only at a corner of a building and protecting only that corner, broadening up the claims provides the protection for the entire building, for example. And second, as it becomes a broader patent, it also creates more value. So I think that's the main challenge, that mindset shift from an inventor to idea protector in the process. It's a huge learning, and definitely the learning from the patent attorneys is invaluable for the inventors. So it's also something that shapes the way one thinks about ideation process. One keeps challenging themselves with additional questions that maybe without that awareness they would be out of they wouldn't be asked.
Very well said. I really like the way you explained with the corner of the building example, how you're not just protecting one simple corner, you have an opportunity to protect the entire building when you go and seek the professional support around that. And with that, we are coming almost towards conclusion of our podcast. But before we let go, you any last advice that you want to give to our listeners?
I would just summarize what we have said so far and highlight some most important points. The first thing is, please do not publish your ideas by any means before you file a patent application, or if you talk with someone, make sure you have NDA in place. As soon as your idea is mature enough, talk with the patent attorney, file a patent application. Patent attorneys will help you having a broad patent, and these broad patents, they have the largest impact. And when you have a patent application, please do not stop continuing with development. Make sure you expand your ideas. You add additional features, because also these additional features can also be patented. And in this way, you generate a large patent portfolio, which has a good value on the market.
I think that's a great summary. So from my side, one advice, act early, take a course, learn a little bit about that world that will help you understand the constraints, will may shape your decisions. And time is at stake here. So really, if you are an innovator, if you are a researcher, I think it's a valuable piece of knowledge also to have in your journey, because once you decide or once you spot a great idea, you'll be already somehow prepared to proceed. And as we know, time is critical in the process. So wishing everybody great ideas and valuable broad patents.
Well, that's a great wish, I must say. And also, Ragna, it was a great summary. I appreciate both of you for your time and for your dedication towards helping young professionals learn about this journey of patenting and idea protection. And also, you have explained it in a very language for the newbies and for someone who don't know this world at all. Thank you so much once again for coming here to the Impact Blog podcast, hosted jointly by IEEE Young Professionals and Entrepreneurship Society. And once again, I hope you have good time patenting the ideas. And also, guys, if you want to reach out for any support, both Anna and Dragon are extending their support as always. So we'll share their details, LinkedIn, and you can reach out to them. And if you have any advice or something, you can always have a chat. Thank you so much.